We'll now turn to Lord's Day 20. It can be found on page 534. In case you're wondering why we're dealing with the Lord's Day 20 in the morning service, it's because your pastor wanted to continue with his series on Numbers this afternoon, so we just sort of switched. So let's turn to our catechism on page 534. And there we read question and answer 53. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, he is together with the Father and the Son, true and eternal God. Second, he is also given to me to make me by true faith share in Christ and all his benefits, to comfort me and to remain with me forever. So far from our catechism. In response, we'll sing hymn 47. Hymn 47, stanza 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you love Jesus Christ? Okay, since I just sprung the question on you, I'll just give you a second to think about it as you settle in your seats and grab your peppermints. Do you love Jesus Christ? I really mean it. I'm serious. I'm not just talking about do you know of him. We're not talking about whether you believe in him. Do you love your Savior? Maybe it is helpful if it isn't me who is asking the question. Maybe it's helpful if you imagine that you are in Peter's shoes and that our Lord asks us three times in Peter's shoes, do you love me? And hopefully each and every one of us can respond, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then instead of responding with, feed my sheep, as he did to Peter, Jesus Christ says to you this morning, well then, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we continue to imagine a conversation between us and our Lord, it might go something like this. Yes, Lord, I love you. I know you are the Son of God, and I believe in you, and I love you very much. Then keep my commandments, Jesus replies. But how can I? I was born with a sinful nature. I try, but every day I realize I fall, and I fall again and again and again. But I came, says Jesus, so that you may not sin. 1 John 2 verse 1. I defeated the power that Satan and sin have over you. And if you do sin, I will stand up on your behalf before the Father. For I kept all my commandments and I did perfectly for you. Yes, I'll say it again. Says Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. We, Jesus Christ and the helper, we will come and make our home with you. This is not just some made-up story, brothers and sisters. This is God's word and truth. And yes, it really is an incredible display of his grace toward us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he continues to be with us through his Holy Spirit. Our lives are then governed by the fact that the Holy Spirit, who is true and eternal God, he lives in us. Jesus said so. He promised. This is what we believe concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, up until now, you would have been dealing in the catechism with what we believe concerning Jesus Christ. It's all summarized for us so beautifully in the Apostles' Creed. Now today, you would have noticed the heading in the catechism, we're moving to what we profess when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And our catechism begins by stating in no uncertain terms who and what he is. The Holy Spirit, together with the Father and the Son, is true and eternal God. And though this morning I won't be focusing on this fact, it is absolutely crucial that we know and that we remember that the Holy Spirit is true God. The Holy Spirit then cannot just be known in some abstract way. We confess in Lord's Day 20 how he is involved in each and every one of our personal lives. Four times in the second part of its answer, it mentions me. And where it says me, pretend you're reading it and you're saying me. He is given to me. He makes me share. He comforts me and he remains in me forever. Yes, he is God. So is Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to focus on this morning, though, is the very personal way in which the Holy Spirit works. And so I preach to you God's word as we found it in John 14, and it is summarized by our Heidelberg Catechism, and I'd like to use this theme or this heading, what have you. What we believe concerning the Holy Spirit affects us personally. We'll have 3 points. We'll see that by true faith, I'm just following the structure of the catechism here. By true faith, he is given to me, makes me share in Christ, and comforts me and remains with me. We've just confessed that the Holy Spirit is eternal God. Now, every believer, every one of us, if I can assume you are all believers, we can confess that this divine person has been given to us personally. Brothers and sisters, the catechism here is confronting us with a very important truth about the Holy Spirit. Not only is he true God, but he is given to you, to me. Do you see how this has to just make it so very personal? This is not just some boring doctrine that's out there somewhere in your heads. Jesus sent the Spirit to you. To you, to you, to you. Sorry. I'm excited. And we need to be clear about this. The reason we need to be clear about this is he either is or he is not given. There's no in between. It's not possible to just have a little bit of the Spirit in us and someone else has more. No, he is or he is not in us. And if he is not, then everything we have or think we have is fake. It is empty. It is futile. It is form without content. Then Christ, by the way, is not our Savior either, because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, we are told, 1 Corinthians 12. Now the fact that the Holy Spirit is given to us in this way, this can be a difficult concept to understand, or we could say to truly grasp. I mean, he's God. How does it exactly work? Does the Holy Spirit have a little part of the body somewhere where he lives? How does he guide and how does he move our hearts? Well, as you can probably guess, we have to realize that we really can't totally understand this. not the ins and outs of how he works, but what we do know is how clear the Bible tells us that it is true that God lives in us by his Spirit. Just think about what we read from the Gospel of John, for example. Listen, just listen again to how Christ talks about, we could call it the indwelling of the Spirit. He is a helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, a little further on, dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. To the Galatians, Paul writes, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Oh, brothers and sisters, these are but a few examples of how we are so clearly told that the Holy Spirit is given to us. Let us believe this in faith, for we have God's reliable word. Trust him. Believe that God actually lives in us. What an incredible gift we have received from our loving Father, Son, and Spirit. And yes, God knew about our weakness. I should maybe say our weaknesses. He knew that we would wonder whether the Spirit is in us or not. And so he gave us ways to know for sure. First of all, remember how we received the sign and seal at our baptism? God promises us that the Holy Spirit will dwell in us and make us living members of Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but I tend to believe a promise that comes from God. And we also know that the Holy Spirit lives in us by his effects or by his gifts. A better way to put it, a scriptural way to put it, is by the fruit. And then there is the fact that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, we are told. Do you believe? Do you have a desire in you, a want to obey God, to follow his will? Have you ever repented from a sin or from a number of sins? Do you consider fellow believers to be your brothers and sisters in Christ? And do you show love to them? Now, I'm pretty sure most of us would answer yes to those questions. These are basic questions that come along with being a Christian, a believer. And all of that is proof that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Faith, the desire to obey Jesus Christ, a humble heart, all are evidence that the Spirit is in you. We don't need some spectacular display of his power in order to know that he is there. For yes, ultimately, it is only by true faith that we are able to say that the Holy Spirit is given to me. We believe the scriptures by faith. And the result of that faith is that we begin to observe the presence, the guidance as he guides us, that the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And actually, it is only through faith, where we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, that we have the ability to recognize even the work and the guidance of the Spirit. And you want to know the most incredible thing of all? This faith, it comes from the Holy Spirit. He works this faith using the Word and using the sacraments. And this faith, in turn, allows us to see that he is working in us. How mind-boggling is that? Truly amazing God, a display of God's grace. And so, brothers and sisters, know without a doubt that the Holy Spirit is given to you. Believe it. For if he were not, we could not share in Christ and all his benefits. And that is also going to bring us to our second point. We'll see how the Spirit makes us share in Christ. It should first be noticed how the Catechism, it highlights the fact that we share first in Christ. To make me by true faith share in Christ and all his benefits. Love is first and foremost directed at the person and then at what he gives. Jesus clearly teaches us this in what we read. If you love me, Jesus, keep my commandments, and I will give you another helper. And then a little further in his talk, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will live in them. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us to love Jesus Christ first, and then his benefits. Do you see why I began the sermon with the question of, do you love Jesus? Now, as we consider our love for Christ, we should also remember that Christ and his benefits can never really be separated. It is impossible to share in the benefits of Christ without sharing in Christ himself. Just think of this example. How could you love the body of Christ, his church, unless you first loved Jesus Christ himself, the head? Yes, we ought to examine our hearts to see that we do love Jesus very much. Now the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, was sent to make us share in Christ and all his benefits. Notice how the Spirit is not after his own glory, all the glory for himself. No, his main concern is Jesus Christ. The Spirit always points to Christ. That is his one passion, that Christ is glorified. See, this is a wonderful little glimpse into how the Trinity works. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are continually seeking each other's glory. And this is especially true of the Holy Spirit, whose only concern is Jesus Christ's glory. Maybe an illustration might help here. You ever see one of those buildings or the face of a building that is completely lit up by spotlights? Or we can think of those big billboards on the side of the roads that are all lit up at night. These can have big spotlights shining on them so that we can see the message. Well, when it's done properly, where the light is coming from is not seen. Only what is on display. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that light. He focuses our attention on Jesus Christ. He gives all the glory to Christ alone. He makes us turn to Christ and believe in him and love him. You see, it is because of the Spirit's work, then, that we are able to share in Christ and in all his benefits. Now, if you're wondering what exactly are all these benefits that we are made to share in, well, we can think back to the previous Lord's Day. Jesus Christ, as brought to us by the Bible, as the complete Savior, was presented to us and was explained. He earned for us all the blessings of grace, forgiveness, righteousness, right? His perfect obedience. How about our adoption as children? Eternal life. These are the benefits of Christ. All the blessings that come from having Christ as your and my Savior. Yes, our very lives are a benefit from Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us then by true faith share in Christ and all his benefits. In other words, we become partakers of Christ. What Christ gained is ours. And when we see this, it's also very important to realize that the Holy Spirit is now, he's not adding anything to the work of Christ. Oh no, the work of salvation was finished. The only thing that must yet happen is for us to be partakers of it, for it to become ours. John Calvin put it this way, the Holy Spirit is the bond by which Christ unites us to himself. It's so good to remember this. This aspect of our salvation can quite easily be forgotten. Often a lot of emphasis is placed on the work of Jesus Christ and how he achieved salvation for us. That's all good. But in this Lord's Day, we learn that it is the Holy Spirit who applies the salvation in Christ and makes it ours. He makes it our personal possession. A bond is made between Christ and us, the bond of faith, which binds us inseparably. Just think, what good would it be if Jesus Christ worked, everything that Jesus Christ did, all his benefits were there, but we can't share in it? Imagine you were starving. You're starving, and you look through a window of a house, and you see this huge feast prepared, tons of food, but you had no way to get at it. All that food would do you no good. Everyone knows that. And Christ achieved so much, but without the Spirit, we wouldn't be able to share in it. Jesus Christ himself makes this clear in John 16. He, that is the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me. See that? The Holy Spirit bringing glory to Christ, as we said. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit takes what is what belongs to Christ. All that belongs to the Father and Jesus Christ, he takes that and he applies it in our hearts. He makes it known to us. What a gift of grace this is. Oh, we praise you, O Holy Spirit. And not only does the Holy Spirit make me share in Christ and all his benefits, he is also given to me to comfort me of all things, to remain with me forever. And this, of course, will bring us to our third point. The Holy Spirit comforts me. Maybe say that to yourself every once in a while. The Holy Spirit comforts me. He guides, he strengthens, he encourages believers. If you ever feel you need that comfort, you can say that, what I just said, but you can also turn to John 14 and John 15. Read that on your own sometime. Verse 1 of chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And of course, there's all those references to Christ sending the Spirit to continue his work, which we already referred to. And it can all be summed up with Jesus' beautiful words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now the word that's used in Greek for helper, as we read from John 14, verse 16, and elsewhere, some translations use the word counselor. The word is paraclete. You know, paraclete is such a beautiful word, and it is actually used of both Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You see, the word paraclete refers to someone who appears on another's behalf, a mediator, an intercessor, or a helper. Yes, Jesus Christ is our paraclete or our advocate before the Father. And he also sends another paraclete to be with us forever. Let me put this in another way. Christ, Jesus Christ, will remain a helper in heaven. And he will be pleading our case with God. And the Holy Spirit will be our helper on earth, comforting, teaching, and guiding us in the truth. Does that not comfort you to know this? Christ not only died for us, this is something we so badly needed, but we are provided for it because of the fact that we are not yet perfect, are we? And so the Spirit was sent to comfort us. And as we await that great day when Jesus himself will return to meet us on the clouds of heaven, we are not even left on our own to battle. We have a heavenly helper, not just on our side, in us. Another great comfort is that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness when it comes to prayer. As I'm sure many of us have experienced, often we don't know what to pray for or how to approach our Father in heaven. But then as we read in Romans 8, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. He himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Spirit intercedes. You will remember that is one of those meanings associated with the word paraclete. Brothers and sisters, what a comfort it is to know that we have, not just alongside us, that we have in us a helper who is able to help us in our weaknesses. And we have a helper at the throne of God pleading our case. Now, when we spoke way back when about our only comfort in life and death, Lord's Day 1, most of us know this Lord's Day. When we speak about that only comfort, we confess that the Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Now, the very fact that we desire more and more to live for God as his obedient children, this comes from the Holy Spirit. And brothers, this is a great comfort indeed. We also confess with the canons of Dort that this assurance of the Holy Spirit, that this assurance of faith is not always felt, that doubts do arise. But in response to this, we are assured that the Holy Spirit will revive us of the certainty of perseverance. Canons in Dort, chapter 5. See, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God as a means to build faith in our hearts. God's Word constantly convicts us of our sins, but our God's Word also assures us of our forgiveness because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so, if we know that the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to build and strengthen our faith, we would be pretty silly, pretty stupid, really, to not turn to God's Word as often as we could, wouldn't we? I'd like to expand on this with a little illustration. I imagine a situation here where, let's say we order something that needs to be put together at home. I myself, a bit of a fan of IKEA. So you know what that is. You buy the package, you have to put it together at home. Now imagine a situation where you open it up and you don't have a clue how to put it together. So we phone, there's a little picture in front of the IKEA catalog that you can phone if you need help. So you phone the company and you ask them, what's going on? But then the company's reply kind of puts us back in our spot. But it came with perfectly simple instructions. Didn't you read the instructions? Now, if I speak for most men in the audience, they'll be like, instructions? What do they look like? Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit was given to us to comfort us, and we are also told how. Through the Word of God and the sacraments. There's no point calling up the company, we can say praying, if we haven't even read the instructions, God's Word. If you are struggling in your relationship with Christ, think of the question I started the sermon with. If you're not sure if you love Christ, if you doubt your faith, if you ever find yourself not sure about the promises that He gave you, ask yourself, am I reading the instructions? Do I faithfully come to hear God's word proclaimed twice every Sunday? Do I read and study the Bible? For this time in your life, maybe God is simply telling you, go back, my child, go back. Turn to my word. I've revealed all of this to you. One last point that we need to be reminded of. The Holy Spirit is given to us to comfort us, but also to remain with us forever. In John 14, our Savior told His concerned disciples, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Forever. It's a very long time, which makes no sense because forever means no time. But isn't that a comfort? Forever. You don't have to worry. He's with you forever. It is for this reason that God's children will persevere to the end. For God will make sure that they do. That much He has promised. He will complete the work which He started. My brothers, my sisters, believe that the Holy Spirit is true and eternal God. And that what He was given to you, by true faith, He makes you share in Christ and all His benefits. He comforts you. He remains with you forever. Let us pray then. Pray often for true faith. And pray for the Holy Spirit to work powerfully in us. For God also promises that He will never refuse the Holy Spirit to those who ask God for them, for Him. Come to our conclusions, brothers and sisters. Let's go back. Let's go back to the question at the beginning. Do you love Jesus Christ? Again, I'm not asking if you know Him or believe in Him. Do you love your Savior? If you love Him, keep His commandments. For Jesus Christ has, not will, has gone to be with His Father in heaven. He has given us another helper, the Spirit of Truth. Oh yes, He has come, the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't leave us all alone. And so let us now our voices raise. To the Spirit, we give praise. Amen.